Good morning, Sower Nation. It is Wednesday, December 31st in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm Tara Beth Leach, and this is your wake-up call. What a day. It's New Year's Eve. I'm so excited. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to be sitting in the streets of Pasadena, California, watching the Rose Parade, a tradition that we love every single year. My best friend lives on the parade route, and it is just going to be glorious. But I also just love New Year's. I love taking extra time to sit and reflect and dream and pray about my expectations for the year and commit myself to God. And so for some of you, tonight might feel celebratory and hopeful, and others, it might feel tender. I know that holidays drum up loneliness for so many people. I know that holidays remind us of who's no longer at the table. And so, hey, I'm thinking about you today. I'm praying for you. And you know what? We're going to dig into a beautiful text today. It's a longer one, but I just felt like it was perfect and fitting. But before we do that, we're going to consecrate ourselves. This is the last day of 2025. That's crazy. That's crazy. I hope it's been a good 2025 for you. And if not, there's always next year. So let's pray a prayer of consecration. But first, hear the words from Paul. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ's light will shine on you. I pray that that rings true. Let us pray. Jesus, I belong to you. Jesus, I lift up my heart to you. Jesus, I lift up my mind to you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's text comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles north from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, meaning the cross. The cross had happened, and now people are starting to talk that Jesus is alive and Jesus is risen. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along them. But they were kept from recognizing him. They asked him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was going to be the one that would redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place, and in addition, some women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the woman said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish are you? And how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all scriptures concerning himself. As they approached a village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. He was at the table with them. He took bread, he gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were our eyes not burning? Were our eyes not burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11, those with them, assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon.' And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord." These two men are talking on the road about all that had happened, about all the tea, all the drama. Jesus had died on the cross, and they thought that he was going to be the one to save them, to restore the kingdom of Israel. But then he's dead, but yet the women are talking, saying that an angel appeared to them, and that he is alive. And as they are talking and processing and replaying all the events, Jesus himself draws near to them and begins to walk with them and says, "What are you talking about? What is it that you are talking about?" And the text tells us that their faces were downcast. I would imagine that they were just discouraged. They were troubled. They had high hopes, and all of their dreams were now crushed. And so, for whatever reason, as Jesus talks to them, their eyes were hidden. We don't know why. Maybe their vision was clouded by grief, disappointment, fear, confusion that caused them from recognizing God's presence. And as he asks them what they're talking about, you can almost just hear them like, "How does he not know? How have you not heard?" I can remember on the day of 9/11, I was out on a walk in a park with one of my dear friends, and we ran into a couple that we knew. And I made some sort of remark like, "What a day." And they said, "Well, what's going on?" I remember thinking, it's 5 in the afternoon on 9/11. How do you not know what happened? It's this kind of massive event that these two men are thinking, "How do you not know? How have you not heard?" And I love what's so interesting is they say, "We trusted, we believed that he would be the one." Past tense, meaning they trusted that the relationship would last. We trusted that the prayer would be answered in that way. We trusted that this year would look different. We trusted that this world would look different. This is not a sanitized faith, but it's real. They're just being really real. And Jesus does something profound. He doesn't fix their emotions. He doesn't say, "Here I am. It's me. I'm alive. I'm risen." But instead, he starts to expound. He starts to teach about Moses and the prophets. Oh, to have been able to be on that road that day and hear Jesus teaching. Awakening happens like this sometimes. Awakening happens in this moment when Jesus retells your story inside of God's story. And then comes a moment of recognition, not in the road, not in the argument, not in the analysis, but in the table. Jesus took the bread, broke it, blessed it, and gave it to them. And in that moment, the scales fell from their eyes. Word on the road, table in the home. And then they are awakened. They are awakened to truth and love and to Jesus. And they recognize him. And then they get up and they move and they go and tell the 11, "It's true. It's true. We have been awakened." So, our nation, we're going into 2026. We're about to cross another major threshold, another year around the sun. And as we cross into this new year, I wonder if today we can do an Emmaus exam and take a few minutes and ask these questions of the Lord. "Jesus, where were you near me in 2025 and I didn't recognize you? Where were you? How are my eyes not burning? What were disappointments that you need to name honestly? God, I trusted you that this situation would go through. God, I trusted you for deliverance. God, I trusted you for provision. It's not what I thought." Name that before God. Your faith doesn't have to be sanitized. God wants honesty. God wants your heart. And then perhaps open the scriptures. For 2026, commit to a reading plan. Commit to submitting yourselves to the word. Maybe you also want to pray for a single word for 2026, something that God wants you to focus on. Also, maybe ask for Jesus to meet you at the table, to meet you at the table in communion. And then also ask the question, "Jesus, who are you sending me to encourage? These two, they went and found the other 11. They didn't keep this good news to themselves, but they went immediately. And we see this pattern in the Gospels. I think about, you know, all the way from the woman at the well. The woman at the well, she experiences and encounters Jesus, who sees her and she sees him. And then what does she do? She goes to the village and she tells everyone. The women at the tomb, when they discover that Jesus is not dead, he's alive, they run, and we see the first proclaimers of Easter, the first preachers of Easter. And then we get to this incredible story where their eyes were opened, the scales fell from their eyes. And what did they do? They went and they told everyone. Where is Jesus leading you to awakening, and how are you to share it with the world? See, 2026 isn't just about you and what God wants to do in you, but 2026 is also what God wants to do through you. Our relationship with God is not just a vertical relationship. It's also horizontal. You and I were created for a purpose. You and I have been created for a mission. We are to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. How is Jesus going to propel you to that kind of life? How are you going to tell the world and tell others around you? You have seen with your eyes. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. You see, awakening is not just recognition, it's mission. And this is what they often say about revivals. Revivals isn't just about what God does in those four walls or in that room, but it's about what God does in our neighborhood, in our cities, in our nation. And it begins with feet on the ground, on mission. So if your heart in 2025 has felt weary and cold and purposeless, ask for a burning. Ask that God would awaken a burning in you. If your eyes have been blind, ask that you would see. If your faith has been bruised, ask for Jesus to walk with you. And then, in those moments that you do see Jesus, don't just keep it to yourself. Get up, go to your people, and sow love today. Because that's the privilege. That's the mission. Awakening isn't just about what God is going to do in me, but awakening is what God is going to do around. You were created for a mission. You were created to mediate goodness, to mediate light, to mediate holiness. And so how are you going to do that in 2026? My friends, we have an opportunity to show the world what God looks like and what Jesus is like. And so may we be sowers of the awakening. Let us pray. Jesus, as we commit our lives to you in 2026, God, I can't even venture to guess all the things that every dear listener is going through. I know that for many, 2025 meant loss. For many, 2025 meant loneliness or confusion or distortion or hurt. God, I pray that you would walk with them in that. That they would remember that you are Lord over the storm. That you are the Prince of Peace. And so, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon them. And that they would walk into 2026 with a sense of renewal and awakening, not just for themselves, but to sow seeds of awakening in their neighborhoods and the world. And the nation and their families. God, in such a way that a weary world would rejoice. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My friends, this is our last call together for 2025. It's truly been a privilege. I love the Seedbed community. Seedbed community is so generous and so kind. And I pray that 2026 is a year of favor, is a year of blessing, a year of awakening, and a year of renewal. We're going to close with this beautiful hymn, Break Thou the Bread of Life. And we'll be joined and led by Dan Wilt, because as I said, not even my mama wants to hear me sing. And so we're going to close with this beautiful hymn, and I'll be joining you. And so, Sower Nation, let's get those seeds. Tonight might be loud or quiet, joyful or tender, but no matter where you are, this is the gift. Jesus is the kind of Savior that walks on the road with you even when you don't see him, sits at the table with you. So it's time to go sow for the awakening into the new year and to 2026. My friends, for the awakening, I'm Tara Beth Leach, and I will see you on the field.
Thanks so much, Tara Beth. Today we're going to worship with the hymn, Break Thou the Bread of Life. And it's hymn number 430 in our Great Redeemer's Praise. We're going to worship with verses 1 and 5. Let's draw near to God together as we sing. Break Thou the Bread of Life, dear Lord, to me. As Thou didst break the loaves beside the sea, beyond the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord. My spirit pants for Thee, O living Word. Bless Thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as Thou didst bless the bread by Galilee, then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine on you and give you his peace. We'll see you on the field.